This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we wait before Thee in Christ's name at this hour, we do pray that Thou would be pleased to take Thy Word home to each and every heart. Oh, that Thou would call with that effectual call by Thy Spirit precious souls unto Thee. Will Thou convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Will Thou show sinners their sins, their need of a Savior? Wilt Thou reveal unto their hearts the Savior whom Thou hast provided in the Lord Jesus Christ? O Lord, we need Thee. We cry after Thee that Thou wilt work Thy work of grace in each and every heart. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're always happy to hear from you and to know of the work of our gracious Lord in your heart. Did you write for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Kept for the Master's Use by Frances Havergale? She was the poem and hymn writer. And this book, in this book, she uses the words of her own hymn, one of the world's favorites, as the basis of each chapter. That gracious hymnal, Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated Lord to Thee, Take Myself and I Will Be Ever Only All for Thee. 13 chapters. Our lives kept for Jesus, our moments, our hands, our feet, our voices, our lips, and so on. 128 pages, a devotional book that you'll be happy to own and go through. It'll bless your heart. This is our free book of the month. It's yours if you will write us for it. Ask for it by name, Kept for the Master's Use. And also when you're writing, ask for these messages on the crimes of our times, a series that we're preaching now. And we'll be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. They're ready. We'll send them in the mail to you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friend, I approach this message today with fear and trembling, crying unto my God for His words, words of warning to give to each heart, warning of the consequences of sin and the judgment that awaits everyone who dies outside of Christ, and at the same time sounding the gospel message that Christ receiveth sinful men, even you, with all your sin. You see, Isaiah 58:1 tells me to cry loud and spare not, to lift up my voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and their sins. So heeding this command, we began last week this series on the crimes of our times, or the sins that have brought our great nation to the brink of eternal damnation and judgment, by setting before your hearts the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt do no murder, according to Exodus 20:13. Today I am led of the Holy Spirit to lay before our hearts the seventh commandment found in Exodus 20:14, which reads, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Dear friend, that this commandment means to be proclaimed across the length and breadth of our land goes without saying, because we are living in a day when this commandment is just about completely disregarded by our nation. This promiscuous society has thrown down the challenge to Almighty God, saying, I will do as I please, live as I please, practice what I please. Therefore, stay out of my life with your word, your commandments, and your puritanic religion. Yes, the sins of fornication and adultery, the unlawful intercourse between unmarried men and women, and between men and women who are married to another, has plunged our nation, our society, into a cesspool of debauchery, which is drowning precious souls by the tens of millions. For the whole fabric of our society is so eaten up with the sin of lust, until God is about ready to spew this nation out of His mouth in complete reprobation, unless there is a turning back to Him in true, heartfelt repentance, which will show itself in the forsaking of this sin and the crying unto God for mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen now as we go into our subject for today. Dear friend, the God of the Bible, the sanctity of home, and marriage are all made fun of today, laughed at, ridiculed, and made the butt of 1,001 jokes every day over the radio and television and the newspapers and magazines and movie houses. But God does not take sin lightly. He does not laugh at it. And even though a work of judgment does not come swiftly, yet you can rest assured that it will surely come. For Ezekiel 18:4 tells us, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Yes, God's wrath will be poured out against sin. I want you to remember Hebrews 13:4, where the apostle says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Therefore we read in Revelation 21:8 that whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Take your Bible and go through it, and you will see that you are warned over and over against the sins of fornication and adultery, because they're against God's holiness, they're against God's righteousness, and they're against God's throne. And also, they're against God's plan of marriage in the home. These sins are against everything that is pure, clean, upright, honorable, and holy in God's sight. If you would look at Leviticus 20 and 10, you will find that the death penalty was pronounced upon the man who committed adultery with another man's wife. Also, the woman who committed adultery with another woman's husband was sentenced to die. Even the sin of fornication and unlawful intercourse of unmarried men and women was punishable by death, according to Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 through 27. So we see that our holy and righteous God did not then, nor does He now, look lightly upon this sin. Even though this sin is not punishable by death in our day, and even though it is laughed at and thought as being nothing in the sight of God or man today, my dear friend, we can rest assured that unless it is repented of, confessed, and forsaken, and you, my dear soul, turn to God for the forgiveness of it, as is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will come a day when it will be punished in your own body in hell. I must state that the Word of God teaches that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. And that is, sex in the bonds of marriage is from God. God gave it to us. Because He said in 1 Corinthians 7:2, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. My dear friend, God hates the sins of fornication and adultery because they are against God's plan of marriage and the beauty and blessedness of the home. Are you listening? Today our society is so sex-obsessed that if it thinks of wrong sexual behavior at all, it seems to think of it only in terms of the illicit act itself, the lustfulness of it, the uncleanness of it, the uncontrolled passion of it, the perverted use of it. If that is the main wrong of sexual misbehavior, then it is easy for men to make excuses for themselves and to sidestep the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They will reason like this: surely it is something merely biological, something quite natural. They will say that it is purely arbitrary on the part of society, even of God, to draw a line and say that before a certain date, that is marriage, the act is wrong, but after that date line, it is right. They also say that what is done may be lustful, but it is nonetheless natural. Therefore, I would say if the main sinfulness of such misbehavior is the lustfulness and impurity of the act itself, it is easy for men to argue in this way. Are you listening? The Bible does condemn sin because of its lustfulness, impurity, and perversion, as we see if we read 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10. This is not where the Bible puts the emphasis. Look at what we read there. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:9, 10 that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is a statement.
and God's word cannot lie. Also uncleanness, lasciviousness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence are sins which keep souls out of the kingdom of God. And I could go further. If we would give these scriptures in the light of modern day English, they would carry to our hearts and minds today a far greater meaning of how God does condemn lustfulness, impurity, and perversion than the King James rendition does. And if we would read it in modern English, it would read, "Let no man who in his promiscuousness, his immorality, unfaithfulness, prostitution, homosexuality, masturbation, lesbianism, lustful imaginations, indulgence in pornographic literature and X-rated movies and plays, an individual who indulges in these things, the life of God does not indwell them, and they shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And we see from the use of these words that God's word does condemn this sin because of its lustfulness, impurity, and perversion. But as I said before, this is the aspect with which the Bible, the only expression of the mind of God that we have on the subject, is least concerned. This is not where God's word puts the emphasis. Follow me now. God's word puts the emphasis upon the wrong done to a loving and holy God, and upon the wrong done to others and to yourself. You see, my dear friend, this sin, as well as all other sin, is self-centeredness, independence of God, and the expression of your rights instead of the rights of the holy and righteous one whose creature you are and who commands obedience to his laws, which he has set up as the criteria of your life. You see, sin is lawlessness, the overstepping of the bounds which God has laid down in his holy word and his holy law. Therefore, the breach of this seventh commandment is a breach of God's holy law, and therefore it is lawlessness. It is saying, I'm going to have the right to do as I please, when I please, where I please, and you, God, are going to stay out of my business. But, my friend, you can't get away not only talking to God like that, but committing the very sin, whether in the mind or in the very act. And therefore, this sin of sexual misbehavior that has engulfed our society today is going to be judged by God on the basis of what it has done to him, his law, and your fellow man. Listen now. If you would look at the Word of God, you will find that the sins of fornication and adultery which break the seventh commandment are sins against yourself. They leave you naked before God and bring you under the terrible judgment and wrath of a sin-avenging God. They rob you of your manhood and womanhood. They rob you of all that is holy and pure and clean and godly. They leave you guilty, defiled, unclean, and lead to stealing, lying, covetousness, and brokenness in body and soul. They drive you to unreasonable acts, lead sometimes to insanity. These sins break up homes, wreck the lives of husband, wife, and children, and in a lot of instances they lead to the very act of murder. Therefore, these sins are horrible because of the wrong that is done against yourself. And you and I know this is true. For you know individuals, and I know individuals, and maybe you're one of them, whose life and health and mentality and sanity has been wrecked by this sin. And you've gone from man to man and woman to woman, or young person to young person, trying to do something with that urge of lust. Now you're dying in body and soul and mind. You're going out to meet God without hope and without God. No wonder this sin is against yourself. Second, the sins of fornication and adultery which break the seventh commandment are sins against the family. There is nothing more sacred in God's sight than marriage. Motherhood, childhood, fatherhood, and the family as an entity. This is God's institution. This is God's plan for His creatures. You see, the first institution that God ever made was the home. He said in Genesis 2:18 that it is not good for man to live alone, so He made him a woman, a helpmeet, and told the first couple, the first family, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. Therefore, when the family is destroyed by the sin of adultery, every member of that family suffers. You see, when a man takes his neighbor's wife, he breaks up two homes. He takes another man's property and deprives him of his rights and his own wife's rights. When a woman takes another woman's husband, she deprives her of her rights and her husband's rights. Then the children are deprived of their rights to the love of both parents and the authority of love, which should characterize that home as God's institution of discipline and instruction. Not only this, dear friend, but the heartache, sorrow, suffering, tears, and privation that stay for a lifetime unless sweetened by the cross of Christ are experienced by all members of the family. This is what this sin leads to and is being experienced today by untold millions in our society. This is certainly Satan's masterstroke against the home, that all the fabric of our society would come loose and our nation would fall into utter ruin. Third, the sins of fornication and adultery, which breaks the seventh commandment, are against this nation. The family is a unit of individuals sharing a common life and governed by a common love. Our nation is a union of families. And when these families are broken up because of the sins of lust and uncleanness, then the nation suffers and falls apart at the very seams. And this is what has happened in our nation today. And unless there is a going back to the family, to the home, and to the family altar into repentance and confession and honesty of heart before God and among ourselves, and there is a real work of grace in the heart worked by the Holy Spirit, then our nation is gone forever. It'll go like other nations have gone. Fourth, the sins of fornication and adultery, which break the seventh commandment, are sins against God. This is the basic wrong in sexual misbehavior, but the one which is the most forgotten, the wrong done to God. If we would look at the example given to us on the pages of Holy Writ concerning David and his sins of adultery and murder, we would note that this sin was the aspect of his sin which David ultimately came to confess more than any other. For in his great psalm of repentance, Psalm 51, we hear him cry in verse 4, "Against thee, the only, O God, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Are you listening? My friend, this sin is against God's goodness. For it was God Himself who planned marriage in the home for men and women to enjoy each other in that intimate union of love. He gives the marriage bed, and he who sins against it sins against the goodness of God. God is the one who, in His great love, gives the man to the woman and the woman to the man, to become one flesh in marriage. And he who sins against this love of God sins a great sin. Again, this sin strikes a blow at the very heart of God. So we must, by an eternal necessity, exclude the abominable and whoremongers from the new heaven and the new earth, and give them their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, according to Revelation 21:8. Oh, my friend, I cannot close this message today without crying from the depths of my soul, "Oh, America, wake up. Come back to God in repentance." Oh, my dear friend, guilty of the sins described today, wake up. Down on your face before God, crying for mercy and true repentance before it is too late. Confess unto God that you have dishonored your body, that you are guilty of selfishness, that you have robbed your husband or your wife of the love due him or her. You've broken up your home, robbed your children of your love and support, robbed your neighbor of his wife or her husband. But most of all, confess that you are guilty of sin against the holy and righteous God, whom you have made to look upon all of your lust and uncleanness. Show that your repentance is real, my friend, by breaking right off every unlawful relationship, and living in righteousness and true holiness by God's grace all the days of your life. And when you've done that, then take encouragement by the gospel record that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood, He is able and ready to receive you, to forgive you, and to cleanse you from all your sins, and give you a new heart and nature so that you will be enabled to walk in this pathway of righteousness and true holiness. Also, for your further encouragement, let me point out that many of the saintly Corinthians in the church at Corinth were converts from these very practices we have described today. As we read in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But having said all of this, he joyfully adds in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but," oh, what a gracious word, "but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, the church at Corinth was a church of born again, converted and delivered fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, and drunkards. And why not? That is what the church is meant to be, a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. So I say, dear friend, God is able to do this for you. Cry after Him in true repentance, and look to Christ in trustful dependence upon His love, grace, and mercy, and surely you shall be saved and delivered to walk in a new life with the Holy God, and it shall serve you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Would you like a copy of this message? We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will write us. It is already in print. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.